Praise God. Last week, Pastor Daniels spoke on the Word of God changes us. Yeah.
Amen.
Changes us. It corrects us, it renews our heart, it renews our heavy mind.
Yeah.
It heals our souls, yeah. It transforms our lives.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I'm here by the grace of God.
Amen.
Nothing I've done, nothing I'm worthy of,
no.
But by the grace of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I came prepared with a message last week. And sort of got two or three titles to try and sort of emphasize the point, really. And one of it is the question, how are we living our lives?
Amen.
Now I saw what, you know, what I let Daniel speak last Sunday, because I said, okay, you carry on, you know. And it knits together Wednesday night. If you weren't here on Wednesday night, you need to log on and hear Wednesday night's message.
Yeah.
Again, that was totally Spirit-led. We just had to wait on God to give us a word, and He gave us the word, so you need to listen to it.
Yeah.
It fits with last Sunday. And I believe that today will fit again. They God by the Holy Spirit is dovetailing everything together. And it's not a collusion, but it's a collusion by God the Holy Spirit to cause us to realize that He is concerned over us, and He wants each and every one of us to grow and expand and develop and to be confident that God has a plan and purpose for you.
Amen.
And you are the need to fulfill that plan.
Yeah.
It's part of your life. It's part of your walk.
Yeah.
It's part of God's plan and intention for you. And some of you will have had prophetic words prayed over you.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like abracadabra and that's going to happen. It means God is saying things to direct you, to lead you forward, and now you are to pursue that.
Yeah.
We don't do it for you.
No.
You pursue it. We assist you to pursue what God has said.
Yeah.
You know, I had promises on my life many years back, and I've been pursuing those promises in God.
Yeah.
Sometimes there has been a price to pay.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, it's been worth every penny.
Amen.
It's been worth every pound. Everything. And I've seen God do great things.
Yeah.
Another part of a title is the life we claim that we live versus the life we live. Some people claim they live, they have this appearance of being godly. But yet, their actual lifestyle does not fit. Or in other words, the life we claim to live through Jesus Christ versus the life we actually live. And the question is, how are we living our lives?
Amen.
Well, because you see, one day, each and every one of us will stand before the judgment throne, before Almighty God, and He will read our life story. In an instant, it will flash before us. And let's be honest, there are some of us, there are things that we just don't want that to come up. Can that be erased?
Yeah.
And You know, so God wants to minister to you, but God wants to flow through you. God wants to have an output to this world, this dying world. And the only output that God has is you. You are the output to reach Jesus. I remember years ago when I met Billy Graham. Long time ago now, that. 1970s. Eleanor remember the day, the year. 78? No? Anybody remember it? No? It's when he was at Sheffield. 78, yeah. I thought it was. That's amazing that I could even remember that date, the year. 78. And I remember Billy Graham saying to ministers, you know, if it's been worked out that if the church today, if each of you were to win one person to Christ a year, within 10 years, the whole of the world's population would be saved. Them's not difficult numbers. I'll say that again. If one person, if you win one person to Jesus every year, within 10 years, the whole of the world would be saved. Wow. Don't stop witnessing. Don't stop sharing Jesus. Don't stop it. Keep it going. And just let the message flow. You know, people today are, Christians are living life today as if, Lord, hurry up and come and get us out. Yeah. Be quick, Lord, bail us out. Get us out of this circumstance, this situation. Do you know something? I'm not praying that. He's the Lord of the harvest. He says, the fields are white unto harvest. But the laborers are few.
Yeah. Amen.
He's the Lord of the harvest. We need to be pushing forward. We need to be believing that there is a great harvest. There is a great reaping in these latter days. I know a lot of church people have got their ticket and saying, well, Lord, you know, here I am. I've got my ticket. I'm ready. I'm just going to push it in the machine, Lord, and I'm gone. Take me up, Lord. You know, I've made it. It needs more than this.
Amen. Amen.
It needs a 24/7 walk with the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Not, oh, where's my ticket? I've misplaced it. You don't misplace it when it's in your heart.
Yeah.
It has to be a heart walk. It's 24/7 walking with Him day by day. And I've got a heading here. The best is yet to come.
Amen.
See, David, you may have done 70 years or so, more than that, following the Lord. But the best is yet to come.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And, you know, the world may seem dark, it may seem difficult, you know, but darkness cannot overpower the light.
Never, never.
So the greater the darkness, the greater the light.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the great light, God Himself, through Jesus Christ, came into the world and began to change things. And the light came into the world and darkness began to shrink away. It's battling to come back, but it cannot. It cannot. You see, so many people have shrinking expectations for their future. Oh, and you hear it all on the news if you listen to it. Things are going down. Hallelujah, we're going up. Come on, church.
Amen.
No matter what happens, the Lord said He would never see His people begging bread. Now, I can say absolutely assuredly to you, All those years that we had a mortgage and we didn't have the money, enough money, according to my maths, to pay the mortgage, we never missed a mortgage payment. Don't ask me how it happened directly. I don't have the, I can't sit down and say, well, you do, you know, all we did was this, this, and this, and it worked out like that. It didn't. There were some miraculous events. But I do believe that as Grace and I, as we served the Lord and as we gave to the Lord prior to leaving full-time employment, we built a storehouse. We built a bankroll in heaven. And somehow we were able to call on this bankroll. And God met every need and more.
Amen.
Because I take that scripture, you know, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall God give unto you. This isn't part of the message, by the way, but this just fits in with it. And we have got to begin to believe God that He can do greater than what you think. Deal with the fanatic in the attic. Let the spirit, the fella in the cellar, cast out the fanatic in the attic. Let the Spirit of God deal with that situation. Stop doubting God. Stop, because when you start to doubt God, you start to live in fear. Perfect love. Cast out some fear. Is that what the Bible says? No. All fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. And the devil will try and tell you, oh, this is going to go wrong, that's going to go wrong, and this is going to happen, and that might happen, and then you're going to really be in a mess. Well, I'll tell you what, the moment you take the hand of the Lord Jesus and walk with Him 24/7, you're going to find that you're more than a conqueror. You're going to find that God is in that situation, in that circumstance. But it's putting, and I keep saying this, and you might think, well, you're a fanatic, Andrew. I am a fanatic.
Amen.
I'm staying that way. I'm not going to change.
No way.
I weren't born like this. God made me like this. I was shy, quiet, insecure, gentle and timid and whatever else words you can put in there. Helen used to think, ooh, he's a right so-and-so him. I'll not tell you everything she said. You can talk to her later. How wrong people can guess. It reminds me, just reminding myself of a situation. I had some friends come up from London and they came to the works where I was at, and Grace came as well, and I gave them a tour of the factory because they wanted to see it. And then Grace and I got in the car and they got in their car. And Grace and I were just talking about something. And when I got home, this lady of the couple laid into me. And she told me off for the way I said things to Grace. She weren't even in the car, by the way. You know. Amazing how people can sort of look at a situation and get the wrong impression. You know. I had to put her straight. She was a school teacher, so it gave me great pleasure. In fact, she was a headmistress. It gave me even more greater pleasure. Because I used to be terrified of school teachers and headmistresses in particular. Hallelujah. I remember the first thing I had to do when I gave up working full-time in industry and went into the ministry. I had to go and do some schools work, do assemblies. And I had to meet this school teacher. She was this high. She was terrifying. You know, I went back to when I was at school and I thought, oh. I'm saying, Lord, is there another way? Please, Lord, let there be another way. That, you know, I had to face this demon.
Yeah.
Bless her, she was lovely, actually. But, you know, I had to deal with it. Because sometimes, you see, you get a wrong signal. You operate from history instead of operating in the now.
That's it. Yeah.
And this headmistress was totally open and wanted it to happen, and it was so easy. And she only stayed there another year, and then she retired, and then they replaced her with another headmistress who was absolutely lovely. But I had to face initially that situation and come through in the strength of the Lord. And so you and I have got to realize that God is calling you to do different things. He's going to equip you to take you through. And so our life that we live, our life has to be the life that we live is what we claim to be. When we claim that we're doing this and we are this, etc., what we do has to show that.
Yeah.
They have to represent one another. There was a writer some years ago called Ronald Conway, and he described the Australian culture as a land of long weekends, the land of three-day weekends. Conway, he was pointing out that for many, the future only extended to the next holiday. How different it is for the Christian who prays with conviction, "Your kingdom come,
amen.
Your will be done." Amen? It's God's will, it's God's kingdom that is going to be done. A Christian has to have a future-orientated mindset.
Amen.
What's your future like? Some of you are going to have to deal with your mindset. Because some of you are like fearing the future. Fearing what might happen next. Are you trusting Jesus? What's that song? All along the way. Does he grow more precious to your heart each day? Are you trusting Jesus? That's the thing. Are you trusting Jesus? Are you his disciple? Test his word and see. He will give Spirit more abundantly. So you and I have to walk in that light of, we have to test the Spirit of God. We have to walk in the abundance of God. We have to walk in what God says he can do. Not what you can do. It's what he does through you. I don't stand up here saying, "Oh, I can do this." I have to stand up here and say, "Lord, work through me."
Amen.
It's about that surrendering to him. It's about, I had a boss and he was always fatalistic. Oh, I was the optimist. I'd come to faith in Christ. I believed anything could be done. I did things in that company that, well, I was told you can't do that. And seriously, we worked on such a short time span that I'm convinced at times I did things in the company to produce items. And they had to be solid because we were doing casting steel. And a company had designed a formula to go with their product so that you could always achieve a solid casting. There'd be no holes in it, which is very important because the holes would cause it to break. And I remember we had a job to do and I worked everything out on it. I did all the sums, and it was like, it was so close, you just couldn't believe it. And there was no other way of doing this. And in desperation, I called for this company, this expert of theirs, and he came up to see me because we bought all their products. And he sat down and he did these calculations on it. And he turned around to me and he said, "It won't work." Thought, that's not the answer I wanted to hear from you. He said, it won't work. You haven't got enough. I said, it's got to work. I said, I've done my number crunching. And I said, and then quietly I said, Lord, this has to work. Lord, I need you to do a miracle on these. Because we've no more time. And these castings we produced, they were sent away then for x-raying to see if there was any holes inside them because it was so fine margin. And guess what? There were no holes in them at all. Hallelujah. You know, and I just thought, thank you, Jesus. And I wondered, you know, when I left that company, I sort of, there were a few items like that that were rather border, on the border. And I wondered that when I left if some of these things started going wrong. Because I remember I used to leave the company every Wednesday and go to college on day release to finish a course off that I wanted to do. I went to work for them on that condition. And every Wednesday when I went to college, something in the factory happened. There was a bit of a mini disaster. And the guys would come to me after a while. They cottoned on to this. And they came up, one lad came up to me and said, are you going to college tomorrow? I said, yeah. He says, oh, no. Oh, he says, it's going to be Black Wednesday again. I said, what do you mean? He says, every time you're away, something goes wrong. I'm like, wow, interesting. I remember Grace's boss saying to Grace that while she worked for that company was safe. He knew that company would be blessed because of grace, because grace was put there by God. You see, we're the blessings. We are the blessings. We are the anointed ones in Christ Jesus. You see, when we come together, we bring a corporate anointing. That's what we do. We bring together, we bring our anointing oil that God has given us, and we, just like the people of Israel, they brought that, each tribe once a month was elected to bring the oil for the light in the holy place. Well, you see, when we come together, we bring that oil for that light, that anointing of the God.
We do.
So that the Holy Spirit moves amongst us in His presence and His power, in signs, wonders and miracles.
Yeah.
You bring no oil, the light goes out.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening in a lot of churches. The light is going out because the people are not bringing the oil.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
We as Christians have to have a mindset that looks to the future. We have a sure and certain hope. Hallelujah. It's not a maybe. It's not a could be. It is a surety. Jesus said so. He said, I am coming back.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm not bothered what day, what hour. That doesn't concern me.
No.
All He said was, be about Father's business. You and I need to be about the business of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Be so busy in the things of the kingdom of God that one day when Jesus comes back, we just get caught up and it's like, oh, excuse me, just, I was just doing something, Lord. He says, I know you were, but it's time.
Amen.
Don't sit around and saying, well, guess what? I'm just waiting for Jesus to come. You know, I'm sure He'll come soon. I wonder when He'll come. And just sitting there, that's not what it's about.
No.
It's about doing the work of the kingdom.
Well,
the problem is with the churches today, it's the Christian mind. Over 50 years ago, a man called Harry Blaymeyers wrote a book, The Christian Mind. He lamented on the surrender of the Christian mind to secularism.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is where the church has gone today.
Yeah.
We've become entertainment clubs.
Yeah.
flashing lights, discos and smoke machines, coffee bar around the back, where, you know, as you come in and it's all laid back. Let me tell you this. The world does a better job.
Yeah.
But no, we seek to, we've got to get up to that standard.
No,
we need the anointing of the Spirit of God.
Man.
You can play as many bum chords as you want.
Yeah.
But if the anointing of God is on it, it'll be blessed.
Amen.
God will do something with that. God is looking for that offering that we bring. When we come in, we bring an offering of praise and thanksgiving unto God. That should be our mindset.
Yeah.
That I have come today to do one thing,
amen,
and that is worship the living God,
amen,
with my brothers and my sisters and declare the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
And as you do that, you'll see the power of God coming upon you and in you and working through you. The mindset is not like we'll just be like that. We've got to be like the world. We've got to entertain. I'm not here to entertain nobody. If you want entertainment, go somewhere else. Because it's not happening.
No.
If you want power, if you want to see the authority and the power of God moving, then come here.
Amen.
If you want to see God moving in you and through you and using you as a powerful man and woman for the kingdom of God, then come here and come under the teachings of the Word of God. Come under the anointing of the Word and get involved.
Amen.
Sacrifice yourself. Place yourself upon the altar. And say, Lord, here I am, wholly available, ask for me and my house, Joshua said, I will serve the Lord.
Amen.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
Oh, but I've got this to do, I've got that to do. I don't care what you've got to do.
Jesus.
She's preaching it. She knows what I think. She knows how we've lived together for nearly 50 years now. We've been married for 50 years nearly. Yeah. It's back to that great scripture, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you, as and when you need them. But I need it. I haven't got this for tomorrow. Well, don't worry. God will make a provision. You're not living in tomorrow. You're living in today. You don't even know when the alarm goes off tomorrow morning that you're going to be breathing.
Amen. Yeah.
Hello?
Amen.
That song, One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus, One Day at a Time. We need help. We need help today. We don't need help for tomorrow never comes.
Amen.
It's today. And also, in other words, this is the day that the Lord has made. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, you don't know the troubles I'm going through. No, but God does.
Amen.
Cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. That's what the Word says. You see, you've got to take the Word. You've got to use the Word as a weapon. You've got to use the Word as a sword of the Spirit to pull down strongholds, to pull down those thought patterns, to pull down those things that stand against you and to knock them down.
Amen.
And that thinking, that secular thinking, we've got to be like the world. We've got to have all this entertainment. We've got to have flashing lights and smoke machines.
Yeah.
Got to paint the building inside black.
Yeah.
Over my dead body. Well, I am living and breathing in this building. It will never be painted black.
It's full of light.
God is light.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Read Revelation. Before the throne room of God. Hallelujah. Flashing lights. Smoke rising. You see, they get it, don't they? This is it. We'll create heaven on earth. No, you won't. Artificially. No, We create heaven on earth when the Spirit of God begins to move in us. Hallelujah. This man argues that there are six defining characteristics of the Christian mind. I need a drink. Number one, it's supernatural orientation. We've got to have supernatural orientation. Our leaning has to be to the supernatural. Not to the intellect. The fella in the cellar. Secondly, we are to be aware of evil. The devil goes about like a roaring lion. Didn't say he's a roaring lion. He just said he imitates him. He gets dressed up. He's got no teeth. He's a bit of a sucker. You know, he'll come and gum you to death. But the trouble is, you think he's got teeth. He ain't got no teeth. All power. Matthew 16 and 18, 18 and 19. All power and all authority. I give to you. The trouble is, you don't use it. You're not using what you've got. You have to learn to use. You have to get to know from this book who you are, what you've got, what your rights are, and how powerful their anointing is from this book.
Amen.
I've tried it, but it don't work. You didn't try hard enough. You see, faith has to grow. Faith has to arise and let its enemies be scattered. That's what we've got to get to. Three, the third one. It's conception of truth and understanding of truth. It has got to have a conception of what truth is. It's got to have an understanding of truth. You see, truth today is human truth is it might happen. It could happen. They say these things all the time on the TV. This might happen. This could happen. And these are not definite. It hasn't happened. It might not happen, by the way. But they don't tell you that. They produce a leaning towards fear, doubt, unbelief. They bring a nervous spirit. They bring a spirit of lack of confidence and trust. Fourthly, the Christian mind has to accept authority. God is the author and finisher of our faith. We have to accept that God's final authority on all things. Fifthly, the Christian mind has to be concerned for persons, for people. God is love. There's a concern. Have you got a concern for other souls? Started off, didn't I, with Billy Graham. Win one. Win one person to Jesus a year, and 10 years everybody in the world will be saved. That's an awesome figure. And it's not beyond our thinking, is it? You know, if somebody said, oh, you've got to win 150 and then in 10 years time half the world, you'd be thinking, oh, it's never going to happen, is it? They're just one. Every year. Sixth, the Christian mind. It has to have a sacramental cast. In other words, it has to honour the Christ. It has to honour that death and resurrection. The table that we come around is powerful. I've seen people healed as they've partaken of the Lord's body. I've seen the power of God touch people and heal people. It is a precious, and that is why we do it every week. It is so special.
Yeah.
It's not just bread and Ribena or whatever it happens to be. It is. The word tells us. Jesus said, "This is my body." But they were eating bread. The cup. He said, "This is my blood." They were drinking the wine. But by some supernatural power, from heaven itself, as they partook of that bread, they were partaking of the very nature and the very divine life of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
That blows. You know, so, he'd be talking Catholic. No, Catholics be something totally different. The blood, he said, "This is my blood." This is before he's even sacrificed his life. "This is my blood."
Yes.
You are partaking of pure life. By some supernatural... You see, what you've got to get these things into context is that when I eat a meal, it does a number of things. Gives me energy, helps me increase my muscles, helps increase fat, depending on what you eat, doesn't it, you know? You have to go easy on the Nepalese food. I remember once I went out visiting some Nepalese families. I did 3 in one day. And everyone I went to, "You had to eat." I said, "Never again." And then when I got home, Grace says, "I've got your dinner ready." So I had to eat that as well. I didn't feel good afterwards, I'll be honest with you, you know. But you see, we have to realize that this table is very, very special. It's not crackers and liquid. This is a contact point with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Him by some supernatural divine presence. You know, Jesus came into the room when His disciples were locked inside the room. That was supernatural. They caught 153 fish. Wrong time as to fish. That was supernatural. And when they came to shore, Jesus had already got fish on the fire. That was supernatural. You've got to realize that this book is a supernatural book.
Amen.
Not getting very far. You and I have to begin to cultivate an eternal perspective. No, this is just a finalized summing up. We've got to bring to bear upon earthly considerations the fact of heaven and the fact of hell. There is a heaven to gain. But you know, you can lose it and end up in going to hell. Hell is a place. Hell is a place appointed for souls and spirits that have fallen from God's best. And so we have to realize that today there's a heaven for you and for me. There is a future.
Amen.
You are here. You have a purpose. You have a future. God has a gifting and an ability to give to you, to make you move in His power and His blessings. But you need to have the mind of Christ. You need to have a mind change. Switch the box off in the corner. Turn on Jesus.
Amen.
and listen to him. Romans chapter 8 and verse 30. Romans chapter 8 and verse 30. In fact, we'll read from 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He's talking of Jesus. And whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, those he also glorified.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He's talking about you and me. You see, God has an appointment for you. God has a place and time for you. God has a purpose for you. God has things that He has predestined you to do. God wants to see that you glorify Jesus, and that in what you do, you are being glorifying to God. You see, all that we do here, I seek that we honour Jesus. Because without Him, just empty words. Just empty words. Words. But when the Spirit breathes over those words, it breathes life. Changes circumstances. Changes situations. In Romans 30, I simplified it. I put this. It was God's choice to set His love upon you. That's simple enough, isn't it? It was God's choice to set His love upon you. So that the love of God will give you, the Father's love will give you anything His child wants. Spoils it. Joshua gets spoiled. I know that. That's the Father's love. And we have to realize that God's love, it's God's choice to spoil you. Hallelujah. I'm going to be spoiled. I'm going to be spoiled rotten. Hallelujah. And I have been spoiled rotten. Who would have thought? Came out of school, no CSEs, no GCEs. Came out with nothing. Not much future, really. Just go and get on where you get to work and go do some grafting. I remember when I quit my job and went full time, a friend of mine who supposedly had a bit of a faith ministry turned to me and said, "That's all your holidays abroad over and done with." What? I'll tell you this, I did more air miles in the first few years in ministry. And it's like, wow, God, I trusted, and grace, we trusted God. And God did it. And He's still doing it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's still doing it.
Amen.
And, just continue to follow Him. Just press in. Give Him everything.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, the devil will take it from you. The devil will take. The devil takes.
Yeah.
You think, oh, I'm not. And I know people who come to church say, oh, I'm not giving into offering. They've got enough money. Oh, that's all right. You rob yourself.
Yeah.
Don't rob the church.
Yeah.
You rob yourself.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Then you become poor. You become poor in spirit as well as poor naturally in the end.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you can have all the wealth that you've got.
Mm.
You can be rich on the outside, but inside you have a poverty spirit.
Yeah.
These millionaires that are always chasing this next dollar, chasing this next pound. They don't need it. But what drives them is a poverty spirit. They've never got enough. They've never got enough. Don't take a pound off them. Never got enough. Poverty spirit. Have a spirit of an abundance in God. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So I'm just following Him, moving with Him. You know, the Holy Spirit is like God. He knows God. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. The Holy Spirit is the same. They're one. Three in one. Different functions. And I just find this amazing, that how the Holy Spirit just comes along and He whispers to us the thoughts of God. How that when we meet people and they come out for prayer and suddenly the Lord says, boom, 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 boom. And you think, wow, I know Ava said the other week when we prayed for her, absolutely spot on. We don't know nothing about the situation, but God, the Holy Spirit, knows and He speaks and it's saying yes. And what really is being said is God is saying, I know your circumstance. I know your situation. I know from the inside to the outside. I know the height and the depths. I know everything about you. And I'm working on your behalf.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We're not alone. Not alone. First Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 through to 11. And Paul writes, but just as it is written, things which eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. Oh, I just, you know. Yeah. You haven't even started thinking about what God can do. You haven't started on it yet. You haven't plunged the depths of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You haven't put the dipstick in and say, how much is there? For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. The Spirit searches the depths of God.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
That's incomprehensible. How do you understand that? You know, we used to sing a chorus about the love of God. The love of Jesus is so wonderful. It's so high, so low, so wide. You know, you just can't get over it, you know. And that's the love. That's just love. What else? How much more is there of God? We haven't plumbed the depth of it. We've not reached the end of it yet. Hallelujah. For those who among men know the thoughts of a man, except the spirit of man, which is in him. Even so, the thoughts of God, no one except the Spirit of God knows. Wow. You know, when we get a glimpse, just that curtain's pulled back that little bit, we catch a glimpse. And God says, just say that. We catch a glimpse of something that God has been seeing in heaven and saying, You see, what is happening in heaven should be happening on the earth.
Amen. Definitely.
Heaven on earth.
Yeah.
Your kingdom come, thy will be done. In this earth, as it is in heaven. We, the earth today, should be a mirror image of heaven itself. In the beginning, God created a mirror image, the Garden of Eden. And God was able to come into that mirror image that He created because He was comfortable there. It was all about Him. It was all about His beauty and His creative powers that He created for man. No human being can search the depths of God. It has got to be revealed to us by the Spirit. You can spend hours and hours. Intellects have spent hours reading this book, the Bible, and have turned around and said, there's no God. It's just a myth. You know, some of the greatest minds, I think of the guy Stephen Hawking, no longer with us, in a wheelchair. There is no God. He'll have discovered there is a God.
Yeah.
But trouble is, he discovered too late.
Yeah.
There is a God.
There is a God. Amen.
Praise His name. It's not about what you're thinking. It's about that Spirit of God that moves within you and moves through you. The principle is especially important regarding the world to come and our state in it. For the Christian to see Christ, he or she needs to become a glorious being like the Lord. Pure as He is pure. Wow. Let's turn to the 1 John, the Epistle of John, the first Epistle of John and chapter 3. First Epistle of John and chapter 3 and verses 1 to 3. You see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God.
Amen.
And such as we are. For this reason the world does not know us.
No.
Because it did not know Him, Jesus.
No.
Beloved, now we are children of God.
Yeah.
And it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. You've not reached your full potential yet. You've not reached your destiny. You've not reached what God intends for you to be. According to this part of Scripture. Beloved, now, verse 2, beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. Because we shall see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him, Jesus, purifies himself just as Jesus is pure.
Whoa.
When you got saved, that was not the end of it.
No.
That was the beginning. You know, when Noah was born, Ailey did not say, thank goodness for that, that's it, I'm off. I've done my bit.
No.
Did you?
No.
And neither did Noah say, thank goodness for her, she's done her bit, now I'm off. Things to do.
Amen.
Things to come to being. And you know, you might say, well, look at Noah, he's a lot to learn. Yeah, he has. And guess what? So have you. So have you. Yeah, but I'm 60 years old and I've been to school, I've been to university and I've got a degree and etc. Yeah, and you've got some life experience. still don't know God properly. It's a journey day by day, day by day. It's a communication day by day with Him. If you don't communicate with your wife or your husband, you don't know what's happening. We have to communicate with God so we know what's happening. God will share with us the things of the kingdom of God. I want you to do something. I want you to stay with me. I am a child of God. Together. I am a child of God. And again, I am a child of God. Praise God. You see, that resonates right through into heaven itself. Oh, and by the way, it resonates right down into the very depths of hell. And the devil saying, oh no. I hope they don't believe that.
I do.
Believe it. And if you just feel at the moment you're not sure about it, keep saying it. I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
You say, well, I have temptations and I have challenges. That's okay. Keep fighting them.
Amen.
Let the Spirit of God move through us. You and I need to see what kind of love the Father has given to us. That we should be called the children of God.
Yes.
And so we are the children of God. The reason the world doesn't know us is because they didn't know Him.
No.
They don't recognize you. They think you're wacky. They do. They think you're a crackpot at times. Well, I'll be a crackpot because crack vessels leak and we're supposed to leak the anointing of God all over the place. I just want to drip Jesus all over the place. You know, let somebody slip on Jesus. Hallelujah. Caleb. Not Gideon. Gideon. Amen. Let your light shine. Let the glory of God shine out of you. Amen. Beloved, we are children. We are God's children now.
Amen. Yeah.
You are God's child now.
Yeah.
Not when I feel like it. See, Noah didn't say, well, I'm not sure whether I want Haley to be my mum or not. He had no choice. The decision had been made. He's Haley's child and that's it.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And we need to realize that we are a child of God.
Yeah.
We're now the children of God. Well, you might not seem like it. You might not feel like it. You might not appear to be like it. But that does not change what the book says. You have to come in line with the book. Not the book come in line with you. Doesn't work that way. You have to marry up to what God's Word says. That's why we were talking at the beginning. You know, our lives need to be living as the Word of God says. Not living a life that doesn't match up to the Word of God. What we do, what we say, needs to be a living epistle of the Word of God.
Yeah.
But we know when Jesus appears, we shall be like Him. We're talking on Wednesday evening, weren't we, about being made perfect. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you ready to be made perfect? Oh, I don't know about... Come on, folks. That's your destiny. You have a sure and certain hope of being perfect. Oh, fantastic. You know, looking towards that. The glory of being made perfect. Actually, what that means, that actually means being what God intended me to be at the very creation of time. Wow. I'm perfect. I'm just like God made me. I'm just like God planned for me. I'm just the very thought and breath of God.
I am.
Some of you are going like, ooh, this is tough, isn't it?
No.
I don't get to that point. You don't, you just live in it.
Yeah.
Let it flow out of you.
Yeah.
Let it begin to ooze out of your pores. Conquer your doubts.
Yeah.
Conquer your fears. No more in condemnation.
No.
Here by the grace and the blood of Christ, hallelujah, we stand. Oh. Yeah, I think I'm only on page, I've just gone on to page 2. I've got 3 more pages of notes. I don't do notes very often. Much anyway, such a thing, but I think he's enjoying it at the back anyway, so.
Well,
praise, you know, it says that, you know, perfect praise, you know, when a child, it's just perfect praise. You see, that Noah totally trusts his mother. Total, absolute abandonment to his mother. You and I need to be totally abandoned and trust God.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what if he... You see, that's one of the... You see, that's from the tribe of the Ifads. What if... It's a question, it's a doubt, it's a fear. Don't you, when we're this building, yeah, well, what if somebody else gets it? Well, what if I tell you, God promised it me? So I've just got to say that God keeps His promises.
That's a promise. That's a promise.
And that's the promise, yeah. Keeps His promises. And we can just rejoice in that and praise God for that. Let's have a look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And verses 20 to 21. You know this. What we're talking about, this glorification, this transformation that should be and is happening in our lives. You know, initially it's something that's totally, totally new. You know, we were destined to sort of destruction. We were destined to decay and become nothing. And then suddenly we're introduced to this transformation gospel. Made in the likeness of His image. We are being transformed into that place of absolute perfection and personification and glory of God. To be quite honest with you, it's beyond our human understanding. Because most of you have your doubts. Most of you have fears. Because it's beyond our natural thinking. Because it is a supernatural action. It's a supernatural thought pattern. It's something that happens in the realm of the spirit that touches the every part of life. Hallelujah. This will change our very being. And this is what Paul states in Philippians. It says in chapter 3 and verse 20, "For our citizenship is in heaven."
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I've got a passport. It says I'm a citizen of heaven. I haven't got my British passport yet. This is it's run out. And I'm booked on a flight, but I need a passport. But I've got God's passport because I'm booked on an eternal flight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise His name. So it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven." You see, don't tell, you know, I've said this historically, and those that have been with us a good number of years will remember that I've said this many times. I'm not a British citizen. He's not a Nepalese citizen. I know he's changed and got his British citizenship, but prior to that he was a Nepalese citizen. I'm a heavenite.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
My destination, my home is heaven.
Yeah.
My kingdom is heaven. Hallelujah. I'm a heavenite.
I am.
You know? And that's why, you see, it don't matter what colour, creed or that you are. All you've got to do is ensure it's stamped on you. I'm a heavenite.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Christ resides in me. I reside in Christ. And I spend my time with Him day by day. Seeing Him work in my lives. Verse 20. "For our citizenship is in heaven. For which also we eagerly wait for a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glorious body by the exertion of the power that comes, that He has been given and that is subject to Him in all things." Hallelujah. I've amplified that. Because it needs amplifying. It needs to be exploded within your spirit. Who will transform the body of our humble state into the conformity of the body of His glory. Mount of Transfiguration. When Jesus also met all of His disciples and He was taken up in a cloud. He was transformed.
Yeah.
And we gazed upon Him in absolute amazement. They didn't realize at the time when they were looking, that's what they would look like one day.
Amen.
That's what they were going to look like one day. Transformed into that very image of God. The glory of God inside them, radiating out of them. As in the beginning, Adam and Eve were clothed with the glory of God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
They were clothed with the glory of God.
Yeah.
Wasn't Gucci stuff. No. Wasn't, I forget them all, whatever they are. None of that. It was heaven's glory.
Amen.
When they sinned, they lost the glory. They were naked.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means.
Yeah.
They were naked. They were without the clothing of glory that God had placed on them.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. God wants to clothe you again.
Yeah.
In His glory.
Amen.
He wants people to look at you and say, "There's something different about you."
Amen.
"There's something different about you." What is it? His glory.
Amen.
In you.
Yeah.
In me.
Good.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
His glory. God wants each and every one of us to have that transformed body. You know, I said on Wednesday that when we have become made perfect, then those who have gone on before, Scripture says, they too shall be made perfect. So guess what, guys? You better get a move on. You better shake yourself. You better start getting yourself into that presence and letting that glory begin to seep and come through you, to feed you and fill you. Because there's a host of great witnesses waiting for you. They're cheering you on and they're saying, goodness sake, Ava, come on!
Amen.
Michelle, get a move on!
Amen.
We're desperate!
Yes.
We've seen things
yes.
that you've not yet seen. Come on!
Amen.
Church,
Amen.
Come on! You might think, oh, he's gone up at top now.
No,
I'm only reading what the book says.
Yeah.
And that's what the book says. Hallelujah. Changed. In the twinkling of an eye. That's what it's in the book.
Yes.
You see, you can't argue against it. It's in the book. But make a move. Start moving towards it.
Amen.
Don't
Amen.
Sit there waiting and thinking, oh, I hope it happens someday.
No,
no, no, no. No.
It
it's for the now.
It is.
Now is the day of salvation.
Now
is the acceptable time. It's a now. See, this gospel, this word is a now word. Now God wants to manifest His glory.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Not next month.
No.
Not next year. God wants to manifest His glory now.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. I better wind up there for now. For now. Let's just bow our heads a moment in prayer. I really can't express enough that you listened to last Sunday, listened to Wednesday, and again re-listen to this. And just let God begin to do a work in you. Let God do a work in you. Don't give up on it. Don't give up. Don't listen. Don't listen to your mind. Listen to the Word of God. Let the Spirit of God speak to you and be quickened. Father, I pray that in each and every one of us, O God, you would ignite a fire that will never be quenched, that will never be put out. Father, I pray that you will ignite something in us that will push every doubt and fear and unbelief back. Father, I pray that, Lord, as you will ignite something in us that will cause us to just begin to manifest your very presence wherever we are, wherever we go. That, Lord, that we would not be touched by sin. But Lord, that every word that we speak will be light and life, changing people, touching lives as we journey. We just ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.